Thank you very much to Richard for leading and to Cherith for playing this evening. What a turn in our Bibles, if we have one with us, to Mark chapter 2. A number of weeks ago, we started a little series on Sunday nights. Didn't get very far in it, but we'll carry it on after the summer, entitled, Did Jesus Really Say That? And we're looking at things that Jesus really did say. Some of these things are strong, others are strange. And we're going to look at something Jesus said, and it was rather strange. And we find it in verse 22. In verse 22 of Mark 2, Jesus said, new wine must be put into new wineskins. You don't hear that every day, so you don't. That's a rather strange thing that Jesus said. But let's read in Mark 2 and verse 18 onwards. The disciples of John and of the Pharisees were fasting. Then they came and said to him, why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth to an old garment, or else the new piece pulls away from the old, and the tear is made worse. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskins, and the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins. Let us pray. Lord, again, we just thank you for your precious word this evening. And Lord, your word speaks about your word, and it says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so, Lord, having read your word tonight, read Holy Scripture, we believe we have heard your voice. And indeed, as we turn to your word tonight and meditate on it and look at it from different angles, Lord, we pray that we might indeed hear that still small voice speaking to us. Lord, we do indeed recognize that when you were here on earth, you said some things that were strong and hard to take. But then at other times you said things that were strange and hard to understand. Lord, you often spoke in these parables. Lord, as we consider your words tonight, may indeed you speak to us. And Lord, encourage us through your word this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. I found in my life as a Christian that from time to time, the Lord will remind me that I'm free. Because I believe that the human default position is one of legalism. So it is. We keep going back to that. I know I keep going back to that way of thinking. That is the default position. And so often the Lord has to speak to me and remind me that we're not under law, we're under grace, that we are indeed free. And I believe that's the effect that this particular passage has had upon me over this past week. The Lord has just been reminding me again that I have been saved to be free and to know that freedom. The weather's going to take up tomorrow, and it's going to be unbroken sunshine and soaring temperatures, well, at least for the next 3 weeks while I'm off, so it is. But I want you to imagine a hot summer's day out in the field or out in the garden, wherever it might be, and you soon develop a thirst. I wonder, what would you go for? Would you go in for a cup of tea? Would you go for a glass of water? Or would you prefer some juice? There's some folks, and they maintain that nothing quenches your thirst like a hot cup of tea. And maybe that's the school you're in this evening, and that's what you would go for on that hot day whenever your thirst is really up. Then there's other folks, and they want to avoid all the caffeine and all the artificial stuff, and they just go in and have a glass of water. And then there's other folks, and they don't care about the artificial stuff at all, and they like some flavour, and they go for the juice. I wonder which you would choose on a hot summer's day whenever you're thirsty. Would it be the tea, the water, or the juice? And hopefully over the next number of weeks, we'll all be in need of some of these refreshments, because hopefully we all will be enjoying some good weather. But you know, the gospel can be described using different drinks, so it can. We could use water to speak about the gospel. So we could. Jesus give us many examples of he being the living water. So we could use water. We could use milk as well. That'll please the farmers tonight. We could use milk to speak about the gospel. But tonight, I don't want to speak about the gospel or describe the gospel using tea or water or juice or milk, but something greater than that. Wine. Wine. The gospel can be described using the picture of wine, so it can, and new wine, so it can. And that's what Jesus does here in verse 22. He is using a parable, and he's using the picture of new wine to describe the gospel, so he is. But it's not only here, but if we turn over to Ephesians 5, I think we can also see the connection here between the gospel and wine. And it says in Ephesians 5 and verse 18, it says, "Do not be drunk with wine, in which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And so Paul here is warning against drunkenness. He's warning against the dangers of alcoholic wine. He says, do not be drunk with wine, because that is to go into excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And I believe Jesus, or Paul there, is using the wine as a picture of the Holy Spirit. And we're not to be drunk with ordinary wine, but we're to be filled with the Spirit. There he is likening the Spirit to wine. He's likening the Lord to this new spiritual wine. So he is. So the gospel can indeed be described in terms of a drink. It can be described using the picture of wine. So we can. There's other passages that we will turn to later on. And I think it's worth remembering that whenever we are about the gospel, whenever we are preaching the gospel, whenever we are seeking to witness to the gospel, let's remember when we do that, that we are offering people the wine of the Spirit. That's what we're offering people. You know, sometimes the way we go about the gospel, the way I go about the work of the gospel, you would almost think that I was offering people sour milk. So you would, the way I go about it, reluctantly, hesitantly. But we're not offering people sour milk. The gospel is not about sour milk. The gospel is about the very best wine. That's what we're offering people. Wine of the very best vintage. So we are. I love the words in Isaiah 55 and verse 1. It says there, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You who have no money, come, buy and eat.
Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. A beautiful picture of the gospel, of what is offered in the gospel. It says, come. Come and receive this milk. Receive this water. Receive this wine. This wine. And let's remember that, folks, as we go out into the summer and maybe have opportunity to speak to people. Let's not be afraid to speak to people about the gospel. Let's remember what it is we're offering them, what it is on offer in the gospel. It is new wine. It's not sour milk. It's the wine of the Spirit. We're offering them the one who is pure wine, the Lord Jesus Christ. May that encourage us and motivate us in the work of the gospel. And that's the theme Jesus is taking up here in Mark 2 and verse 22. He says, no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskins, and the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins. Now, this is a parable. Jesus here is not simply teaching us a lesson about wine, but he's using wine as a picture of the spiritual wine that he offers to people. Just want to ask a few questions and seek to answer them from this text in verse 22. What happens when a person drinks wine? What happens whenever someone is given wine to drink? Well, all sorts of awful things can happen, so they can. But something that happens whenever a person is given wine to drink, their heart is made merry and glad. So it is. That's what happens. Now, we're not advocating, this is not a sermon tonight on the rights and wrongs of drinking alcohol. Absolutely not. This is a parable that Jesus is teaching here. He's not teaching about the rights and wrong of drinking alcohol. He's teaching about the spiritual wine he offers people. But whenever people receive wine, their heart is made merry and glad. And you know, if the gospel offers people new wine, if Jesus is that new wine, if the Holy Spirit is that new wine, surely whenever people drink of this new wine, as they're exhorted to do there in Isaiah 55, come and drink of the milk and the wine, come and without money and price. Surely whenever people drink of this wine, should their hearts not be made merry and glad? After all, it's new wine they're drinking. It's the wine of the Spirit. It's the wine who is Christ himself. Surely whenever a person tastes of that new wine, tastes of Christ, receives the Spirit, that new wine of the Spirit, shouldn't their heart be made merry and glad? Isn't that what Jesus was thinking of when he said in John 10:10, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. I've come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. I believe whenever Jesus spoke those words, he may well have had in mind that he is the new wine. The Holy Spirit is that spiritual wine. And when people drink of him and receive him, that he imparts an abundance of life to those people. You see, the gospel, I believe, should cause people's hearts to rejoice and be glad. After all, the gospel, and through the message of the gospel, people are invited to drink of this new spiritual wine. I wonder if you drank of this wine which is Christ, the wine of the Holy Spirit. Come without money and price, we're told in Isaiah. Buy this wine, receive this wine. But another question that arises here in verse 22, it's this. What happens when you put new wine in an old container? What happens when you put new wine in an old container? Look at verse 22. Jesus says, no one puts new wine in an old container or in an old wineskin. Or else the new wine bursts the wineskin and the wine is spilled. And the wineskins are ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins. What happens when you put new wine into an old container? Well, the short answer is that the wine is ruined because the wine bursts the container and it is spilled. It doesn't reach its potential. It doesn't go on to produce in the heart of those who drink the wine the joy and the gladness that it could. You see, in order to understand what Jesus is saying here, we need to understand the culture of the day. And the culture was that wine was stored in containers made from animal skin. And the reason for that was because new wine was still fermenting. And whenever that new wine was put into a container made of animal skin, as the new wine fermented, it built up pressure in the container made of the animal skin. But what happened then was the animal skin then expanded. So it did. And the wine continued to ferment inside the container. But whenever you took that new wine, and if you were to put it in an old container in which there already had been wine, in which wine had already fermented, and you put that new wine into the old container, as the wine fermented and the pressure built up in the container, the elastic properties of the container, they didn't exist anymore because it was an old container. And as the pressure built up, it ruptured the container. And the wine was spilled, as it says here. It was lost. The wine didn't reach its potential. No one could drink it and benefit from it. So they couldn't. And so basically, in answer to our question, what happens when you put new wine in an old container? It's ruined. So it is. It doesn't produce the effect that it could produce. So it doesn't. But what is Jesus talking about here whenever he says, you do not put new wine into old wineskins? You see, the old wineskins here, Jesus is talking about is a picture of the old covenant. The old covenant of the Old Testament. The old covenant that was all about legalism. The old covenant that was all about ritual and formality. And that's what Jesus is talking about here when he talks about these old wineskins. He's talking about the old covenant with all its legalistic properties, with all its requirement for ritual. And Jesus is saying here, you cannot take this new wine that I offer. You cannot take the wine of the Spirit And you cannot put it in those old wineskins. You cannot take the wine of the new covenant and put it in the container of the old covenant. So you can't. Otherwise, it just won't work. So it won't. And Jesus here is speaking to the Pharisees, people who are disgusted with Jesus. People who feel Jesus is basically having too much fun. They're accusing him of all sorts, eating with the publicans and the sinners. And they can't understand how he's able to do this. And he's speaking against these people. And Jesus is seeking to show these people that they're wrong. Jesus is showing them, you cannot take this new wine that I offer. You cannot take the Holy Spirit. And you cannot put it in an old container. So you can't. Otherwise, you will not benefit from that new wine. It will not produce the effect in your life that it could produce. And friends, I believe that explains why at times Christians will say Christianity doesn't work. It hasn't worked for me. Colin, you told me that if I came to Christ, I would receive abundant life. Well, I haven't. I haven't. Colin, you told me if I came to Christ, I would receive this new wine. And wine is meant to make you joyous and glad. Well, it hasn't. You know what has happened at times? Yes, people may have received the new wine, the wine of the Spirit, but they've put it in the old container. The old container. And it just doesn't work. They have never departed from that old legalistic way of thinking. They have never fully left behind the old covenant for the new covenant. They're still thinking salvation is of works. They're still concerned with the laws and the regulations and the rituals. They're still an old wineskin. And Jesus says you just don't put new wine in old wineskins. Because if you do, you will never benefit from that new wine. That new wine will never be able to develop within you as it could. That new wine will never be able to produce within you the joy and gladness that it can, because it's new wine in an old wineskin. You know, it's a little bit like this. It's a little bit like trying to put a square peg into a round hole. So it is. The square peg is the gospel. The square peg is the Holy Spirit. It's Christ. The round hole is us. So it is. And so often that's what I try to do. I try to take this new wine and I put it into an old wineskin. I still haven't fully got away from that legalistic old covenant way of thinking and fully embraced that salvation is by grace. You see, if you try to put a square peg in a round hole, it can be done. It can be done. If you get a big sledgehammer, you'll be able to put that square peg into the round hole. But you know what you'll do to the peg? You'll ruin it. You'll ruin it. Bits will shear off the peg. And you see, whenever we take the gospel that new wine, the wine of the Spirit, and we try to force it into an old wineskin, we damage the gospel. We cannot benefit fully from the gospel, so we can't. That's what happens when we try to put new wine into an old container. And friends, I think there's an important lesson here for new Christians and for those of us who would seek to help new Christians. There is a right way to live. There is a godly and a holy way to live. Absolutely. But we've got to be so careful. Got to be so careful that we don't try to tell those people and suggest to those people that somehow you can have this new wine, but you've still got to be as religious and as legalistic as you always were. No, it just doesn't fit, so it doesn't. Where should we put new wine? Well, it says it here in verse 22, as we looked in our text, we should put new wine into new wineskins. That's where we put new wine. Into new wineskins. Wineskins that have never been used before. Wineskins that still have their elastic properties. So that whenever that wine is put into them, whenever it continues to ferment, the wineskins expand. And the wine is retained. The wine develops to its full potential inside those new wineskins. And I believe the Lord has been saying to me this week, Colin, you have got to become a new wineskin. You've got to become a new wineskin. So you have. You have this new wine within you. The new wine of the Spirit. If you want that new wine to ferment and develop to its full potential and to produce within you the joy that it can, Colin, you have got to become a new wineskin. Yes, got to live a holy, godly life. But you've got to get away from that legalistic way of thinking that salvation is down to me. Down to me, it's not. The Lord has been saying, Colin, you've got to start to think that your salvation is all down to me. All down to me. You've got to become a new wineskin. That's where you put new wine into a new wineskin. What happens when you do that? What happens when you do that? Well, I've tried already to indicate what happens. When you put new wine in a new wineskin, when you put the new wine of the Spirit into a new wineskin Christian, what happens? I'll tell you something that happens. Christ-likeness happens. That's what happens. You start to become like Christ. So you do. He was the new wine. And he was new wine in a new wineskin. And the Pharisees couldn't cope with it. Who does he think he is? He's eating with the publicans and the sinners. This man calls himself the Son of God. Friends, when we put this new wine into a new wineskin, we start to become like Christ. We start to behave like Christ. We start to do things like Christ would have done. That's what happens. And leading on from that, something else happens. I know it's maybe a well-worn term, but radical Christianity happens. Jesus was as radical as they come. So he was. As radical as they come. And friends, once we become new wineskins with this new wine within us, and this new wine ferments and reaches its full potential within us, just think of what that will result in. Just think of where that will lead us. The things that will cause us to do. You see, new wine in a new wineskin
It leads to Christ-likeness. It leads to radical Christianity. So it does. And you know, we are new wineskins. Doesn't it say that in 2 Corinthians 5? If anyone's in Christ, he's a new creature. He's a new creature. But you see, what happens sometimes is Colin says, I don't want to be that new of a creature. I don't want to be that. I want to be a wee bit old. I want to be a wee bit like I was before. I don't want to stop thinking legalistically. I don't want to fully start to think that salvation is fully by grace and it's not down to me. I'm afraid to start thinking like that. But we need to start thinking like that. We need to start thinking and realizing, you know, we are new creatures. Saved by grace alone. Nothing to do with us. We need to start thinking, you know what? I am a new wineskin and I have to start and live like a new wineskin. Because I have this new wine within me. And friends, once we do, I believe we will indeed become more like Christ and we will start to behave and to do things that Christ would have done. Can I just ask in conclusion this evening, friends, have you received the new wine? Have you drank of that new wine? It costs nothing. It costs nothing. So it doesn't. It says in Scripture, come and drink of the milk and the wine. If you haven't, drink of it tonight. Receive it tonight. Taste of it tonight and see that it's good. Receive it by faith this evening. And secondly, have I received this new wine into a new wineskin? Or am I trying to contain it in an old wineskin? I'm afraid I am at times. Trying to contain it in an old wineskin. And the result of that is that at times I'm not fully satisfied. Because the wine cannot ferment as it should. It cannot reach its full potential in an old wineskin. It's got to be in a new wineskin for it to produce within us the effect that God would have it to produce. You know, at times, we're all at different stages with respect to this. There's some people, and they have received a new wine, and they are a new wineskin. There's other people, they have received a new wine, but they're still an old wineskin. Then there's some people in the middle. And you know, the danger is that if we have received the new wine and we're not a new wineskin, sometimes we can start to become very judgmental of people who have received it into a new wineskin. And we can start to point the finger as they pointed at Jesus and say, you shouldn't be doing that, or you shouldn't be doing the other. Maybe that dear one has got the new wine and they're also a new wineskin. And the wine is just fermenting within them and producing the effect within them that the Lord desires it to have in their life. May that be the case for us all this evening, for me as well, that new wine would indeed be in a new wineskin, producing the effect that God would have it. Let us pray.